It's a question that many of us ask ourselves when we hear the news or read the latest articles. How can people be so cruel? So heartless? How can they do the things they do to other people? What's the motivating factor in a drive-by shooting or car bombs or other acts of terrorism? But sometimes the things we do to one another, well, it takes a while to figure it out. In face of the second worst financial crisis that this country has ever suffered, why did the CEOs of some of our leading financial institutions use the tragedy to increase their own personal wealth by bankrupting the retirement funds of their unsuspecting clients? What was it about such actions that they felt justified doing it? How could they be so callous as to look at an 80-year-old person who had to go get a job at Walmart in order to support himself? It doesn't make sense. And what about church officials? Preachers, priests, and other commissioned staff who use their power to exploit children. Doesn't make sense. And as Christians, we're taught that the best answers to some of life's toughest questions are found in the Bible. And yet when we open the pages in an attempt to deal with the things that we see happening around us, what are some of the first things we face? Stories of crime and corruption. Today's readings are a case in point. In the gospel, we hear about a Pharisee by the name of Simon who was so convinced that he was right. He insisted that it was his God-given obligation to both judge and condemn others. Simon took his position so seriously that when a woman came to repent of her sins and fell at the feet of Jesus, he refused to free her from her past so that she could walk and grow into the future. You know, one can almost hear him looking at this woman in disgust, saying, "Thank God I'm not like her." And he was right. He was not like her. The scriptures tell us that her sins were many. Simon had dedicated his life to obeying the laws of God. He was not like her. The problem was that Simon, and the entire religious world for that matter, had no intention of allowing her to be any different than the person who had walked in the room. So Simon was not only thankful that he wasn't like her, he was equally grateful that he would never allow her to be like him. He would see to it that she would never change, that she would never have a chance to stand before the assembly free of her sins. And he did it all by misusing God's holy laws. But Jesus would have no part of it. As the woman bathe his feet with her tears, he turned to Simon and he said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." I have something to say to you. That was also the message that Elijah expressed to King Ahab when he set out to claim his ill-gotten vineyard. You know, friends, one of the tragedies, the story of Ahab, is that he didn't set out to be a cold-hearted killer. When you read the beginning of the story, Ahab went to Naboth and he made him a very generous offer. He said, "I will either pay you for your land or I will give you another vineyard, whichever you want." But then his offer was rejected. And it was when his power was ignored and his ego was damaged that the king began acting like a spoiled child. He sulked, he pouted, he went to bed, he refused to eat. All because he couldn't have one small piece of land. He couldn't have what he wanted. And Jezebel, well, she wasn't always the nicest of women, but when she saw what her husband was going through, she vowed to obtain the vineyard regardless of the cost. And as a result, she not only used the power of the king's office, she used the power of God's laws to do her dastardly deed. She used God's laws to destroy another human being. Ahab knew it. But once Naboth was dead, Jezebel said, "Go ahead, go claim the vineyard," and off he went, as happy as a lark. And it was while he was on the road to the vineyard that Ahab ran up against Elijah, a prophet who had been sent by God with an important message. "I have something to say to you. You have sold yourself to evil." You know, there's probably little comparison in our minds between Ahab and Jezebel's plot to kill someone for a small piece of land and Simon's judgment against a woman. I mean, how can you compare the two? Naboth was dead, at least the woman was alive. But when you put the scripture side by side and you see what God is trying to tell us, it is not very comfortable. Whenever we use God's laws for our own personal gain, whenever we act out of a sense of jealousy or greed, we have sold out to evil. God doesn't make a distinction. Like Ahab and Simon, our greed and our desires lead us down dangerous paths. And what we have to remember is that greed is not always for material things. Whenever we misuse our power as parents, spouses, employers, teachers, or even disciples of Jesus Christ. Whenever our emotional and material desires become the center of our focus, we have taken one giant step away from God. We are called to be faithful stewards of God. We are called to be faithful stewards of all God has given us. And this means that we must also be willing to share those gifts with others when we're asked to do so by the one who comes and calls us friends. You know, God is looking out at us today. And the kicker is, God knows what's on our hearts and in our minds. God knows what is motivating our actions and understands the driving forces behind our lives. And God has something to say to each of us. The question is, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to answer? To God be the glory.